Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Ingrid Jensen. She plays trumpet and flugelhorn with all the brilliance and fire of a true virtuoso, following the spirit of the music as she creates it. Warm, sensitive, exciting, and totally honest. And that's it, Ingrid.
That's nice.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm just great. It's nice that you could finally come and be on Piano Jazz.
It's really great. It's a real pleasure.
I've listened to you for so long and sort of followed you on your journey from Canada. When did you get started playing the horn? Horns, plural.
Well, flugelhorn came a little later, but I started playing trumpet in the band program at school. We had a really extraordinary system in Nanaimo, actually outside of Nanaimo in Cedar. I have to be very correct about that because my sister and I grew up in Cedar by the Sea. And the Cedar band program was extraordinary because the teacher was a really great trumpet player and a really great drummer. And he just turned us on to all the cats right away, 14 years old.
I think that's great to have someone like that in your life because some of us weren't that lucky. You know, you had to learn, or it took much longer to find out these things. But evidently, from what I read somewhere, your mother was or is a musician herself and plays jazz and classics.
She plays the piano. She's a budding jazz player in her retirement. She went back to school and studied some jazz harmony and a little bit of improv at the school that all my sisters and I went to. And they let her come in and take some courses. And she was raised a classical musician, and she got into Stride and Scott Joplin and all that. And gravitated into other music like Duke Ellington and Sarah Vaughan and Oscar Peterson, of course. So that was the sound that filled our house when we grew up.
My God, how wonderful. Let's not talk about it. Let's do it. Why don't we play something?
Okay.
And it's not going to just be us two. We've got fine drummer Robert Perkins and Gary Mazzarappi on bass. So we should swing. What do you think would be a good tune to open with?
Well, this I love to dedicate to my dear late friend, Harry Sweets Edison, and this is entitled My Ideal.
Oh, he would like that.
Let's do it.
Okay. So nice, and I love to hear somebody play in the mute like that.
Thank you.
You know, well, as you know, I was married to Jimmy McPartland, trumpet player extraordinaire, but it was hard to get him to play in that mute. It's hard, isn't it? He was such a lazy guy, and I would say, but it sounds wonderful. It almost sounds like Miles Davis. Oh, it's too hard. Is that harder to play?
It's a different instrument. To me, it's a completely different instrument to play with the mute because it changes the resistance in the instrument. It's like playing a prepared piano or something. You're going to have to approach everything differently. Not entirely, but it does feel a lot different if you don't practice in it. So I practice in the mute a lot.
How much practicing do you think you do a day?
Oh, must I say on public radio?
Well,
it varies. You know how it is being on the road. Sometimes you don't have any time. What I've learned to do, though, is when I do have time, it's almost like going to the gym. I do this really extensive workout I've done my share of no sleep and no practice skating, but I'm trying to, in my mature phase of my life, to really take care of all the details and do everything
well,
as best
evidently
as I can.
You're working out. Well, let's do Child is Born. I just love that tune.
Yeah, me too. I haven't played it in a while. I'm looking forward.
I haven't played it in a while. Now that we both copped out.
Now we've both got our excuses.
Well, we can't go wrong because we've got to have some nice bass notes and cymbal effects and stuff on the drums. How can we go wrong?
No way. Let's play.
Tune, and he was such a great writer. You can really tell his, I mean, when I hear the band, I can really tell that it's that sound.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how do you, I mean, I know you're probably doing this, you want to develop more and more your own sound. I mean, I guess it's a mysterious process. You don't know. You're not thinking, well, I'm going to do this to get my own sound. It just sort of develops naturally.
Yeah, that's a heavy question. I mean, you think of all the people who immediately you can recognize their sound from the minute a recording comes on, like Clark Terry or Miles or any of the singers, horn players, pianists as well. I think these are people who've developed their sound in ways that it's not just about the notes. It's about their choice of notes and who they play with and the style of music they feel comfortable in and all of those elements combined.
I mean, I think of Miles as an amazing guy to keep going through all those different permutations that he went through. And yet he still pretty much did maintain the same sound throughout all of it, didn't he?
Definitely. And he played, almost people say he's played the same way over all of that music. But, his sound is very unique.
But did you listen much to, like, some of the older guys, like Louis Armstrong?
I grew up with Louis, definitely. Mom used to put those records on, and we'd dance around. And it was Louis was the pacifier for the kids when they started screaming.
Oh, really?
Definitely.
He'd love to know that.
Oh, yeah. We grew up with all that music. And the first time I really ever improvised was in a Dixieland, traditional New Orleans situation with my band teacher. He just had me sit in and play over something like Basin Street Blues. And that was what made me appreciate immediately how great Louis was.
Those things are fun. I still love to do that. You know what, Ingrid? I would really love to hear you do a tune with the rhythm section, and I'll go off and hide or something. But you've got such a nice bass player and drummer. I would love to hear what you could do without me.
Okay, it won't be as much fun, but we'll do a trio version of St. Thomas, and we'll dedicate it to Sonny Rollins.
He'll love it.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
That was so nice. I mean, you really didn't need me at all because everybody took good solos. It sounded very clean and clear. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
A lot.
Thank you.
I think Sonny would be pleased.
I hope so.
You know, I wanted to ask you, and I guess I'm sort of thinking, well, shall I or not, whether you've had any of those problems that women musicians have had over the years, or are you free of all those things?
Oh, that is one of those loaded questions, right?
Yeah, but I'd love to hear your answer.
Well, I see it in two ways. I think we can, like anything in life, we can make a big problem out of an issue that is definitely valid, or we can do something about the problem by rising above it. And I think in music, because women, man, purple, green, yellow, white, whatever, all of those things can get in the way of people's perception of how jazz is supposed to sound. And that was something that was always a mystery to me. It's like when somebody said to me, oh, well, because you're not only a woman, but you're not black, you just can't play jazz because that's just not right. And I never really listened to that, thank goodness, because to me, what music is all about is about crossing all the barriers and just expressing the person within. So I guess in my naivety, it got me through a lot of those circumstances where I saw a lot of women later in my life getting really upset. And my naivety was probably supported more than anything by the music, because whenever I put my horn to my face, it's just about playing and communicating and getting into the rhythm and the harmony and bringing people together in a way that we can express who we are and what's going on in that moment. So, of course, through my development, because I never saw a woman play the trumpet, especially jazz.
You didn't?
Not when I was young. I'd never seen any pictures until I saw a picture of Stacey Rolls. So I never really even thought, oh, wow, this is a normal thing to do. It took me, because of that, it took me a while to really accept that what I was doing was cool.
All right, about music. What about Billy Strayhorn?
One of the greatest composers that ever lived.
Oh, God.
And arrangers.
And I was so lucky when I was playing at the Hickory House. He would come in and sit at the bar, sort of to the left behind me, but he was so appreciative of everything I did. I think that's where I learned so many of his tunes.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And what are we going to do? We're going to do one, aren't we?
We're going to do a request for my mother, who absolutely adores you, as I said earlier, and she requested that if I come on the show, I have to play Chelsea Bridge for her with you.
Well, I think everybody would like to hear this. It's such a pretty tune, and he seemed like an incurably romantic guy, and his concept and his the way the tunes flowed was so original. I mean,
incredible.
I just feel so pleased that I could know him. So let's do Chelsea Bridge.
Okay.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.